bolster it, and the person is really upset that this beautiful window of theirs that they've been able to see through is now broken, almost like their life's broken. And just at that moment, the rushing, cooling, refreshing breeze comes through, and I just got this feeling that sometimes, even though you think everything is fine because you could see through it and it seems like everything's okay, things need to get broken to allow God to come in, for his rushing wind to come in and his healing wind.
I have this strong sense that so many of us, like Luke was singing, is we're running away, or we actually don't know where to go. We don't know where the Father is. We're singing, he's a good Father, but we haven't had that experience of him as a good Father. You haven't heard his voice. And I just felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to, I'm going to ask Philip. He's a father figure in this town and he's an amazing man of God. I've just asked him, he's going to follow as the Holy Spirit lead, just to speak to us from the Father's perspective, just to share the Father's heart with us. Because we're a bunch of children, but some of us, we don't know where we're at. We don't know where to go and we don't know what to do, because we haven't heard the Father's voice. And he's going to stand in the gap on behalf of God the Father, and he's going to speak to us. So I want you to close your eyes, whatever you feel comfortable with, and just receive the Father's words.
We're pressing into a brand new year where God is saying, I'm giving you a new lease on life, a brand new opportunity, a brand new insight, brand new perspective, something that will take us, as we heard a little bit earlier in the song about fire, that will ignite, and God is igniting something in the midst of us tonight. Amen. God's igniting something from within. There's an internal thing that is very much indicative of the Father's heart on behalf of we who are in that place where we say, as much as I am a man and a woman of God, before I am anything, I am a child of God. I am a child. Except we come before him as children. Except we do that, we'll never understand what God's kingdom is all about. And as Amo said something and came up to me there as I was sitting down, there was a very strong word that came just like a mighty wave came into my spirit. God is in the process of eliminating an orphan spirit. Can you hear it? You belong. You're not out in the cold. You're not a castaway. You're not a discard. You're not somebody that is just a nothing or nobody. You are God's child. And you are accepted in the Beloved. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Can you know it? Any attempt to take away from the reality of who God is and who you are, God is saying, it's gone. It's past. It's no more. God the Holy Spirit is touching you tonight. God the Holy Spirit has taken away this bondage that has been hanging around. For some of you, it's been years. For others, it's been decades. For others, it's been generations. I want you to hold up your hand right now and just say, thank you, Jesus, it's gone. Thank you, Jesus. It's gone. It's gone. I am free. I am liberated. I am not in any bondage anymore. I declare my liberty. I declare my freedom. I declare that Jesus is my God. I declare that He is above all. I declare that the voice of man and all condemnation is now out the door. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. No matter what has happened, the orphan spirit is gone. It is out. It is no more. We will not accept what we are not. We will accept who we are in Jesus. He alone can satisfy. He is here in the midst of us. Can we declare His greatness right now? Can we lift Him up and exalt His name together? Can we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord? Hallelujah. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of Lords. Crown Him tonight. Crown Him tonight. Lift up His holy name. Lift up His banner, because He indeed is Lord over His church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Flate, my story is 8.
So I just have a cool thing to share with you guys. While Philip was sharing, and he was saying the spirit of adoption is going, but the orphan spirit is going, and the spirit of adoption is coming. And I just want to read you this thing. Birth seems so much more desirable than adoption. That is fair to ask God why He would even use adoption. The answer is that the Romans recognized that when a baby was born, you get what you got, whether you liked it or not. This would include the sex of the child, the birthmarks, etc. Thus, according to the Roman law, a naturally born baby could be disowned from the family. However, people adopting a child knew exactly what they were getting, and no one adopted a child unless that specific child was wanted by the family. So according to the law, the adopted child... Oh dear. So according to the law, the adopted child could not be disowned. he or she was permanently added to the family. Many early believers were Roman citizens. Using the word adoption was one of God's ways to let the church know that he chose the children he brought into his family, and they could not be taken from it. And it just reminds me of the scripture, obviously, in Romans 8, where for he has adopted us as children, whereby we cry, Abba, and we are not slaves to fear. But yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Okay, well, Luke, just playing. Let's get somebody that you don't know in this room. Little exercise. We need to make it practical, eh? Get somebody that you don't know. Go to somebody. If you want to cross the big divide over here, you're welcome to. Get somebody that you don't know. Okay, we need more people on this side. Everybody has Joma. Do you have somebody? Okay, if you just find somebody. Okay, so what I want you to do is, sometimes it's easier to pray this prayer for somebody else, okay? It's difficult to take it for yourself, but it's easier to pray it for somebody else. Okay, so I want you to pray just over that person that's sitting in front of you and say, hey, by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, you are an adopted son or a daughter of the living God. Your dad is cool and he's awesome and he's almighty. Okay, you don't have to use that verbatim, but just pray this prayer and just call out the identity of the person. If he doesn't know Jesus, tell him, hey, you better know Jesus, it's amazing. Or she. Okay, let's do that. Let's pray that over. Amen. Great. So I love this setup, eh? Like I told the morning congregation that what we actually wanted to do is we wanted to make a fire here in the middle, but the landlord didn't want us to do it. So I don't know why, but somehow we just get a chimney or something. Yeah, why not? Hey, JH, I think that's possible. Where's the engineers in the house? Funny, you can also spoke. Huh? It's possible, no? Yes. Nothing is impossible for God. Eh? Nothing is impossible for God. Okay, we already had a great time. Who of you feel closer to God as you're sitting? Okay? That is amazing. I've already seen people crying. I've already seen people being touched by God. Myself, I'm quite a cry baby. My wife's also a cry baby. So we love crying, but crying is always, you feel so exposed afterwards, but you also feel so clean. It's almost like, it feels like your tears have actually cleansed you, but it's just that place of vulnerability before God where you're like, God, you know everything about me, you know my mistakes, you know my past, but you know my future, and I can't do it without you. And, let's just make this identity of being adopted into God's, to His household. Let's make that our identity for this new year. Huh? Amen. Okay, awesome. Thanks, Philip. I think that was really powerful. It is great to have the old men in the house tonight. The young old men in the house tonight. Is there anybody that's over 40? Nobody is over 48. Okay, I love it. Dube, Fonny is over 40. Yeah, Fonny. Yes, a paar van die jy's. Okay, so last week we had a service at Swartvlei. Who of you were there last week? Okay, great. Some of you. So I'm just going to recap quickly. I felt God's telling me to keep it simple in the beginning of the year. Who of you have that New Year's resolution? To keep it simple. Stick to the basics. Huh? Who of you have that New Year's resolution? You're not going to say yes for too many things. Huh? I think all of us start with that, but you've already committed so many, you made so many commitments at the beginning of the year, you already feel like, oh, you didn't keep that one. So I was asking God, how can we simplify what we must do this year? I believe that there's a lot of work for us to be done. There's a lot of brokenness in the world. So obviously God's kingdom hasn't come fully. So how do we simplify that? What is the basic thing, the foundation? This year we're talking about God's building, but what is it building and what is the foundation of this building? Yes, Jesus is the foundation, but how does he build? And the one thing that I felt for this year is just to get back to the basics. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that everybody that believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The reason why Jesus was sent to this earth was so that we can have eternal life. And because of God's love, the motivation of love, the love for us, He was sent. So let's backtrack a little. What do you guys think is the ultimate pursuit? And I asked this question, so if you're in the Swartvlei congregation, you were there last week, you're not allowed to answer. Okay. What is the ultimate pursuit of this world, people in this world? Success, but what kind of, how does it look? Financial success. Sorry? Identity. They want possessions, acceptance. Love. Read. Greed. Yeah, greed. I thought like reading. Man, that's a funny. Let's start libraries then. To be entertained, yeah. I think it's easy to look at the world and see, well, okay, the people that I'm working with that don't know Jesus, what are they after? They're after financial success. They're lusting after greed, after sexual intimacy that's not from God, wanting pleasure, wanting to be entertained. Knowledge. They wanna have more. This greedy thing. Constantly wanting to be full, the very self-centered approach to life. So what is the ultimate pursuit of God in this dispensation that we are living in? What is God pursuing? He's pursuing Mark. Is that what you're pointing at? Okay. Yeah, anyway. I think we should definitely do a game with this side. Team A versus Team B, yeah? Okay, Team A, whatever. One and A. Okay, let's do that, eh? Did you just set up for this? Okay, what's the ultimate pursuit of God? The ultimate pursuit of God. Family, our hearts. Why did he... Glory. So that... Yeah, this dispensation. For us to find life in Him, I like that. To serve one another. To have a personal relationship with Him. Pardon? To be stewards of God. Well done, Keith. So, I was coming back to that scripture, John 3:16. It speaks of God. Because God so loved the world, He sent His Son to do what? His most precious possession, He sends to die for us. And if Jesus didn't die for us, where were we? We were dead. We were lost. I love Luke. He was obviously very clever. He was a doctor. Not that Luke. Yeah, I love you, Luke. You're also very clever, but you're not a doctor, right? Luke 19, verse 10, he sums it up. It's going to be an interesting service. I can see this. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That is God's ultimate pursuit. To seek and save the lost. And some of you, like, so God's not after me because God already found me. No. There's parts in your life that's lost. And He's seeking after you because He wants to find that. And He wants to destroy those lost parts, not you, so that you can be fully the person who He created you to be, a son and a daughter of the living God. So the ultimate pursuit of God is to seek and save the lost. So in this new year, I want to destroy this foundation of this church. I want to say, okay, apart from Jesus being the center and the cornerstone, we want to lay the foundation on this, the ultimate pursuit of God, and that's to seek and save the lost. So what should our ultimate pursuit be? To seek and save the lost at any cost. To go, because God, I'm gonna do my job so well so that I can seek and save the lost. God, I'm gonna pray more so I can seek and save the lost. God, my family is not yet saved. They are lost. I'm gonna go after this because I know there's already momentum in that direction because Jesus is moving in that direction. Imagine the desire of an almighty God wanting to save, to seek and save the lost. That is if you think of God's desire as a river, that's a strong stream of water flowing towards us, flowing in that direction. And some of you should jump into the river, others should go, okay, I'm gonna get a boat so I get more people on this river. Because we need to align ourselves with God's ultimate pursuit, and that's to seek and save the lost. To seek and save the lost. Okay, so and the next thing that I feel that will help us to simplify our lives is this one word called eternity. Eternity. Okay, I want to make a statement. Love making bold statements. Saying it's this. Eternity is the cornerstone of logic and common sense. Eternity is the cornerstone of logic and common sense. Say it again. Eternity is the cornerstone of logic and common sense. Okay, if you have a grandfather that already passed away, have a grandfather, somebody that you know that's already in heaven, okay? Who of you have somebody like that? Okay, great. You know, okay. So they already in eternity. Okay, so now I want you to use your imagination, and we're going to discuss this quickly. Okay, what if they from heaven looking at what you do or what the world does? What would they think about what we are doing? What would they think? What would in their eyes be like, that's stupid. Wasting time. That's nonsense. Why are you doing that? Up here, we can just clearly see that just illogical, irrational. What would the things be, whether it's in your life or in this world, that they would go like, stupid. Okay, discuss that with the person next to you. Okay, great. Let's get feedback. Anushka, what did you like say? Hot. Okay, what she was saying is that hatred is stupid because it just destroys your life and it wastes time. In the end, you're coming to that point, hey, I should have just forgiven this person. And then also bondages, struggling with stuff that you've never sorted out. It steals from your life. Okay, let's get Jama, what did you say? Thank you. Fusi Jungs get Jama to be your spokesperson, eh? She's amazing, eh? Employer. Pay her lots of money. Okay. Lucinda, what did you say? Great. Students, you got that, eh? Series. Okay. Great. It steals time. Okay. I didn't say that. Lucinda said that, okay? Yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyone else wants to volunteer on this side? Lies. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because obviously they know what the truth is. Yeah, okay. Wow, that's good. What did you guys say? Tracy? She's a science teacher, so she's obviously very clever. Scientifically speaking, it's impossible to communicate with you. Is that what you're going to say? Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow, man, this is a good sermon already, eh? Oof. Trikes, what say jy?
Also think it's important, but the distractions can distract you from. It's important to have vision to build something that will not just last your lifetime, but for generations to come. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a church building. If you feel you just want to love people, then you need to raise up disciples to also love people.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to have an eternal perspective.
That is brilliant. And your name is Victor, so you can't lose. You're just victorious. Laura, let's say. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What I just felt in my team with the Holy Spirit and with Mark there at the back, is I felt they would be like, "Wow, you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have. You don't know what you have in God and your identity." Just flowing with what God's already saying. Okay, we're already deep into the sermon. Okay, so if you feel convicted in some way, okay, you just feel okay. So that conviction is obviously Marina. Okay, Philip nominated you, Marina. You feel convicted. Okay. Okay, great. My wife would do the same thing to me. Okay, so just take that, make a note in your head. But it's important when you hear the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, just act on that. Be obedient. Because the moment you're obedient in a little thing, God gives you more responsibility or more anointing or more blessing. So we want to be obedient in the small things. So I just want to encourage you, be obedient in this small thing that God has told you. Maybe it's a big thing. It is a big thing because it has to do with eternity. Okay, so I'm going to use this illustration. Pia, wie was jy? Kom, jy was my illustrasie man. Okay, I chose the biggest guy. Yeah, die vier is gevaarlik. Okay. Okay, so this piece, this black piece, not that your life is black, but it represents your life. Okay? This piece over here. So here you are born, then you go to school, then you go to high school, and then after 12 years, you go maybe to varsity, you go work, you get married, then you have babies, then you have more babies, then you don't sleep, then you don't sleep, then you don't sleep, and then you spend all your money on them, but they're amazing, and then you do some fun things, and in the end, you die. You're dead. Okay. Yeah, that's my life at the moment. I die every night, so. Okay, so this is your life. So if you just look at this black piece, it is, with regards to itself, it is the percentage of your life to your life is 100%. So it looks big. And maybe you're going to live 100 years and you're going to be very old. And that's a long time, 100 years. Imagine living 100 years. But the thing is, Ecclesiastes says that eternity is written in our hearts. And the one that created us is eternal. And he created us for eternity. So maybe we believe this is our life, but our life is actually, our life is actually a rope that is endless. And it's just going. This is our life. You think this piece is your life? No, this is not your life. It's just going. We're just going. It's just going. And it's continuing until eternity. We're just going. To be. Okay, you can just leave it there. Okay, Pierre, give him a hand clap. So we're a bit like the Springbok rugby team. This represents 5 minutes of the rugby game, so we play all out. We spend all our time and our money getting education so that we can work hard and we can make lots of money. And then the last bit, we can retire and we can have a joyful end to our life. That's how the world operates. But what we don't know is that eternity is still waiting for us. We are eternal beings. We are not going to stop at the point of death. So how will we live differently if we continuously in our minds have this perspective of eternity, that we are created for eternity? How will our businesses look? How will we spend our time? You see, already by asking these questions, you are thinking, okay, I need to cut this out. I need to focus on this. This is going to be important in eternity. Why don't spend more time in this? We have a saying in our house that, like, in our family, my mom and dad, I once bumped. I took the one car and then I bumped the other car on the driveway. Eh? What if you've done that? So my dad wasn't very happy, but the evening around the dinner table, we had this conversation, and the phrase was used that this aardsegoed, it's earthly, it's an earthly thing, it's earthly things. And the reason why my mom brought that up is because we believe that we are created for eternity. We are Christians. We believe that we serve eternal being. We were created by this eternal being, so we're going to live for eternity. And she was saying, you know what? In terms of eternity, this is just a little mistake. Yes, it will cost us money. Yes, don't do it again. try and not do it again, but I know that you didn't do it on purpose, or did you? That kind of question. But we know that just, it's earthly things. We can't take you to heaven. And I remember when they broke into our house and in Betty's Bay, same conversation. Oh well, we hate crime. We bless the people who took our stuff, all our stuff. But it's earthly things. We can't take it to heaven anyway. It's going to be destroyed anyway someday. So it just came sooner. Percentage-wise, into eternity, it was zero time. It just was taken away for us. And if you think of, maybe Tracy, you can help us with this equation, is the sum. So take 100 years divided by eternity. What's the answer? It's like zero. Yeah, it tends towards zero. That is the correct answer. Okay, so we're living in zero time. But God has given us the responsibility and He's telling us, hey, this zero time will determine the way that you spend the zero time will determine how you spend eternity all the time. So that's why there's an urgency for me in this message to understand that we need to make the most of this zero time. We need to get our perspective right because we're not going to play this life like the Springboks play it. We're not going to play for the first five minutes and then stop playing for the rest. And we on the outside, we're like, ja, Heineke Meyer, ja, jy, man, kyk, wat maak jy? And hey, can't you get the guys fit or get another game plan? But meanwhile, back at the ranch, well, how are we living our lives? We are living flat out with all the great resources that God gave us, and we're living it out for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with passionately pursuing God, and we should do it. We should be more passionately pursuing God than anything else. There should be a passion in your heart for this. And there's nothing wrong with running for God. There's nothing wrong with that. But many of us are running flat out for this world, and we're going to end at zero time. And God's just challenging me, and I feel He's challenging the church. He's saying, hey, wake up to the eternal perspective. Wake up. You have these precious moments, a moment. Life is but a vapor, a moment. To change the people around you, to have an impact for my kingdom, and my kingdom is going to last forever. So look at what Paul says. He's Philippians 1:21. It's just eternal logic. Let's go to Philippians 3:13-15. But one thing I do, Paul writing, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. I was telling the morning congregation, it's almost like Paul saying, hey, you must think in terms of eternity. And if you're not thinking in that way, I bet you God will tell you that I'm right. God will reveal it to you. But if you mature, what the definition of maturity in terms of spiritual growth is, you are more like Jesus. You're thinking like Jesus. If you want to think like Jesus, you must take this seriously. Think eternal. Think from eternity. It's amazing. Paul's saying, hey, my goal is just the heavenly prize. One day I'm going to go into heaven and Peter laughing at me for buying a Land Rover and not a Toyota. And making jokes about my great golf game or my not so great thing that I did or business that I ran. No, I want to go in there and I want to meet Jesus and I want to experience just God's pleasure in telling me, hey, I'm thankful for you just serving my purposes, having an eternal perspective on life. Thank you, good and faithful servant. This ultimate pursuit of that my heart was so for people to get saved and for lost and for people to really understand who I am, and you committed yourself to that. Well done. That's Paul saying, the heavenly prize. That's the heavenly prize. Yes, and you're going to have responsibilities in heaven, and it's going to be a joyous occasion, ruling and reigning with the King. But the prize is just Jesus' face shining and thanking you for this. Hey, thank you. Imagine that. Jesus walking up to you. Hey, I know you. Amor, Victor, thank you. You've done well. A couple of examples, Philippians, Paul also 1:21, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So that only makes sense if you have an eternal perspective on life. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. In this life, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. It's all about following Him, pleasing Him, enjoying Him. And then to die, man, it's a gain. I believe Paul would be like, hey, shoot me. You're not going to kill me. I will profit out of that. I'm going to go to a better place. It's eternal perspective. Luke 21, 26 to 28. Jesus speaking of the last days. And we're always in the last days. Luke and we were actually discussing that. Luke said, yeah, they were some 50 years ago, there weren't any coal left. There's still no coal left. People are still struggling with everything that they struggled with 50 years ago. Yes, we're going into the end time, but it's always the end times for us because your life it's short. You're going to die in 50 years. In terms of eternity, that's like it's almost tomorrow in terms of eternity that you're going to die. So it's the end times. And Jesus speaking about the end times, people, there will be people fainting with fear. Who of you have experienced this in the last little while? ISIS, economic crisis, Zuma, people are just fainting with fear. Everything is gone. My salary is gone. My savings are gone. What's going to happen to when the Muslims come to South Africa and what's happening in Europe? Man, we can't. Everything's gone. People are fainting with fear. Jesus is saying this is what's going to happen in the end time. People will faint with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. So people start talking about it. They will write newspaper articles about it. It's just bad, bad, bad. And people will faint because of that. And we are fasting now for 21 days. For me, the biggest and greatest thing of this fast is just cutting out newspapers. I love news. News 24. Fanny and I, we had a deal. We even deleted the apps from our phone that would take us to these news websites. And Facebook, we just cut it out. For me, it is glorious just reading the Word of God and being filled by the Word of God, not reading all the nonsense about what's happening in our country and people just commenting negatively on everything. I was walking into Checkers the other day and I saw some of the headlines. I'm like, I don't belong to this world. That is not my inheritance. And it's not like I'm denying it. Faith is not denying that the problem exists. It only denies it a place of influence. Bill Johnson said that. I just love that. It's not denying it, just denying it a place of influence. I don't want that influence in my life. Of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Speaking of a war that's going on. We are in a war. If you don't know it, there's only two sides, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the devil. Okay? We don't like the devil. The devil doesn't like us. And if you're not fully committed to Jesus, he's going to take you out. You can't go in between, wave the white flag, thinking nobody's going to get hurt. There's the heavens, the power of heavens will be shaken. But in this is, I believe it's a good shaking that's coming, that's already here. It's Jesus is preparing his bride. We need a little bit of a shaking. And I love speaking to the farmers like Mark and Jeff and Chop coming from all the way from KwaZulu-Natal. I love the dependency that farmers have on the weather and on God. Like, their salary is determined by if they get rain or not. And we must get into, I believe that it's something supernatural that God is doing with us as a country. And we must start trusting God again for everything, for your salary, even if you know it's fixed income every month. You must trust God for everything. For the rain, we must, that's how we want to live. That means, that is what it means to be surrendered to God. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We want to see that. Now when these things begin to take place, speaking of people fainting with fear. So if you see people faint with fear, okay, here's the, this is our command. This is our mandate. We should do this. Straighten up. Okay. Raise your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption is drawing near. We are not of this world. You can't faint with fear. If you know Jesus, it's impossible to faint with fear. You just straighten your back, you lift your head, and like, Jesus is coming. I'm watching the clouds. He is coming. Yes. Keep your eyes on the people that need to get saved, need to get to know him, because redemption is near. We can't faint with fear. We must, just like the orphan spirit, we must get it out of our systems. Every bit of fear. That's what the end time church should look like. A fearless church. And I love it. Last, our chauffeur band brought out a CD called We will not be afraid. And I was speaking to Luke. I said, Luke, but it's actually so negative. We will not be afraid. And just a couple of months after that, Beth also brought out a CD saying, We will not be shaken. And just after that, the whole ISIS thing broke. It's like God was preparing his church for this. We will not be shaken. Let's say that. We will not be shaken. We will not be afraid. Okay. We will not be afraid. Okay. So go and read that scripture. Luke 21, 26 to 28. Again, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a long piece. Luke 16, 19 to 31. Are you guys enjoying this perspective? I'm enjoying this. I think I had the wrong scripture there. So it's, I think Lazarus and the rich man. I don't think it's Luke 16:19. That's I. Okay, but anyway, I have it here on my notes, so I'm just going to read it for you. Whoever you know it by heart, where is Lazarus and the rich man? Is it? Oh, that's why John is not Luke. Luke, where's Luke? Luke, can you just tell John that you're not John? That John is not Luke. Sorry. Okay, let's read this together. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have many sons. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abram said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abram, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. That's just Jesus telling the story and trying to create in his followers eternal perspective. He says this rich man had everything, but he went to hell. And this guy, Lazarus, or the rich man, being in hell, he got an eternal perspective on things. It's like, I have five brothers. Please, Abram, just send this man that was begging at my door, just send him to them so that they can get saved. And then you have Lazarus, who had nothing, but he had everything. He had nothing in this life, the black peas, but in the rest, he had everything. So who's the hero of the story? Lazarus is the hero of the story. But nobody in this life wants to be like Lazarus. Who of you want to be a Lazarus? The oinkies and your sierakum? No, nobody wants to. And what Jesus is not saying is that if you're rich, you're not going to heaven. He's not saying that. And if you're poor, you're definitely going to go to heaven. No, he's not saying that. He's just trying to get us to this place where we have eternal perspective on things. And also, it's actually a great vision. All of us are struggling in some way. Maybe you're struggling with your health, your parents, or people around you, just the brokenness in this world. It's going to end. It's going to end. But also, then the perspective from the rich man that, hey, if it's going to end, and there's an option for absolute good or absolute evil, and then, hey, let's help the people to choose absolute good in this life so that they will be able to go to heaven. How would we live our lives differently if we have that perspective? I love people telling stories about near-death experiences. They're like, hey, I was like that, and I, like, Lucy actually told us about a car accident and the car was completely written off. But you walk out of something like that, or somebody dies, you're like, what is the meaning of life? What should I live for if it can go so quickly? It could be taken away. We had a friend in varsity who died. He was preparing for his final, I think it was final exams, and he just died. He invested his whole life in getting to this place. He wanted to be a CA one day, being big man in business, then he died. He was a Christian and loved Jesus, so he's in heaven. It gives you perspective. How are we living life? Okay, so I'm going to end up with this. What counts in eternity? What's important in eternity? If you think of eternal perspective. Jesus, great. Eternal things. Wow, that is the generic, great, awesome answer. Pardon? Love. Unconditional love. Family. So the people that you love. Joy, yes. What's important in eternity? What can you take with to eternity? People. Behavior. Sorry? Your choices, okay. It's going to determine where you spend eternity. So what can you take with? You take yourself with, but nothing else. Souls, yes, people. Pardon? Salvation, great. Your salvation. So think of this world that, and it's called the kingdom of heaven. And everything that we do should revolve around this. A world where we have eternal perspective and we know that the end is going to come. How are we going to do business if we have Jesus' perspective on life? You know, in some businesses, you will not be... What's bevorder? Promoted. If you're a Christian and you're doing your life like Jesus wants, or you do your business like Jesus wants you to do. Because they're probably going to ask you to do things that's unbiblical, that's unethical. You won't be able to, because it's all about money. But what if you become the CEO of your business and you know that you want to deliver an excellent service to this community? And you're making lots of money. But when you spend that money, you ask God, God, where should I spend this money? What will have the biggest impact on this community? Hey God, how can we feed the people, but not only feed them and get them fed, how can we feed them with the Word of God? Because if you feed somebody, they're going to die. But if you feed them Jesus, they're going to live. You have to do both. In Thailand, they say all the universities and many schools were started by Christians, but Thailand is still, I think, 5% or less Christian. So the guy writing this book, Kapje Johannan, I don't know how to pronounce his surname, he says, so all we do is we're sending people better educated to hell. So what can we take with? What would be different? The first thing that you're taking with, and it's the most important thing, relationship with God. So our first focus shouldn't even be to go and seek and save the lost, but just to get our relationship with God. Because it doesn't matter you getting running around all over, but you don't have a relationship with God. You don't know who God is. You don't know your Father. You don't know that you're a son. You don't have peace in your heart. Matthew 7, Jesus says, many in that day will tell me, haven't I prophesied? Haven't I drove out demons in your name? And I will tell them, I don't know you, because you've done a lot of things for me. You're pursuing this cause, but you haven't had a relationship with me. I don't know you. So the most important thing is to know God. That's why we spend time in worship before a service. And for some people, it's still a little awkward. You don't know how to respond to lifting up your hands or singing the song. But it's all up. We want to connect as individuals. We want to connect to our God. And we know as we connect and we lift up his name, he actually comes and he dwells amongst us and he starts sharing with us. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in this life. What do I want to give my children? I want to facilitate this decision where they make a decision for Christ. And that is my ultimate goal, raising up my children. If they can get that thing right, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to get them well educated. I'm going to get Eva to the ballet class because she loves ballet. I love seeing her enjoying life. But I want to facilitate that moment where she responds to the call of God. She says, yes, Jesus. And we're going to celebrate that. I have the privilege, my two brothers and my sister follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. And my dad's not a rich man, but he got that right. He set the example of following Jesus, hearing from him, and being obedient to God. And that's our first goal. It's the most important thing to do. Is to get your relationship with God ready. And the second one, well, let's stay with the first one. So anything that takes away from this relationship, whether it's a series, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your laziness, whether it's your ill-discipline, whether it's the job that you're doing, whether it's a place you're staying in, just get rid of that. Because it's not worthwhile. Just get rid of it. That's why fasting, from an outside perspective, why would Christians give up food for God? From outside, it looks stupid. But it's, hey, you're feasting on God. You're stepping away from certain things. You're not reading the newspaper. You're not on social media. So you can fast from stuff, but feast on God. So if it's not adding to your relationship, God, drop it. There's a song that says, drop it like it's hot. Do you know that? Like a hot pan, just drop it. It's going to get you into that hot place and you want to get it. And then the last one is people. We need to get our act together and make a difference in people's lives. We need to seek and save the lost. If you have a family member that doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't know the Lord, that means that he will not be able to go to heaven. He's going to end up with a rich man. Yes, it's not a burden that you need to carry, it's a burden that Jesus already carried on the cross. But there's an urgency around that. That we can still, in this life, we can make a difference in that family member's life. Same with our friends, the same with the people that we work with, the same that we must get together and we must brainstorm, we must get discipleship groups going, we must get our small groups filled with people that don't know Jesus. Because there's urgency. It's the only thing that we won't be able to do in heaven. There's no lost people in heaven. No lost people. So we actually have this zero time to deal with that issue. And relationship, like Lisa was saying, love, loving people. And by loving people, the people closest to you, you create a platform for God to move in your life. People say, wow, you love. We will be known that we'll be known by the love that we have for each other, we'll be known as his disciples. So love people. Love people. Love people. So I want all of you to close your eyes. And we're going to pray this prayer and then we're going to... If there's anyone that wants to respond individually, we're going to give opportunity for that. So pray this prayer after me. God, I come to you. Just as I am. Lord, I ask that you come and save me again. Renew my spirit. Renew my soul. renew my body. Renew my mind. Lord, I want to adopt heaven's perspective on earthly things, on my life. Lord, I ask that you come and rewire my brain so that I can think like you are thinking. Give me the mind of Christ. Because God, I know that my time is short, that I have zero time to make an impact for your kingdom in this world. Jesus, I ask that you give me friends, that you give me people that will walk this walk with me. Help me to change my priorities. So that, like Paul, I can put the things of the past behind me. And I can look at the heavenly prize and press towards that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, just as your eyes are still closed, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, you haven't had the born again experience, you've maybe just floated through life, you've floated into church and out of church, and if you don't know Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. You don't know that you're actually going to heaven. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to, if you feel that there's something in your heart that you want to just share, or you maybe want to make a commitment around a priority that you're going to change, or something that you're going to cut out of your life, or just feel that there's a window of opportunity for some of us to say, tot hiertoe en nie verder. I want to stop doing some things and I want to go for Jesus. Maybe you just want to come forward and say, I want to passionately pursue God. Please feel free to do that.
Good evening, everyone. Currently, I'm in my fourth year education student and I'm doing my practical at Georgia and I'm staying on the hostel. So, on the hostel, I'm the only leader that just serves God and know Him. So when I came there, because in my interview I said that I want to pursue God's children. So they actually chose me to be the leader of all those children and have that responsibility. And I said to God, even my practical at Georgia, I want to use those Mondays morning just to tell people my story and just to get them to God, to know God through what I've been through. So it's nice. I have the relief that God, I can't buy you with any good deeds, but I'm living for you. That's my life. And I want you to pray for me in preparing sermons for those children, because it's my responsibility now. And I know that I won't be able to impact a lot, but God, if I can only make one disciple for you this year, it would be a lot. Thank you.
jullie zonde. Anyone else?
I love people so much. I enjoy talking to people, and sometimes I just talk nonsense and it's fun. But yeah, I felt the Lord saying that spend less time there and more time with me, and then when you spend it with people, it'd be more worthwhile. You know, when you spend it with people, sometimes it's a waste of time. You just, where is this going? Why are we talking about these foolish things? Yeah, so just a quickening of the important things to discuss now. Our life is so short, it can, like almost said about his friend, tomorrow I can be here, tomorrow I can be gone. What is important? What do we need to be? So, yeah, preparing my heart for when I do speak to people, that I'm aware of what Jesus is saying towards those people, and I can actually give prophetic word or word of insight, saying, hey, I feel God saying this about you. And he's like, how did you know that? And I was like, Jesus told me. And he's like, okay, well, because Jesus knows me, I'm going to change my life for him. So be more wise with my time.
I'm very afraid of how my voice would sound over a mic. I'm not used to a mic. I'm used to more quietness. Being recorded as well, yeah, that's even worse. So, and I want to confess something. I've been a naughty boy my whole life. I've been through a couple of things in life. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, woman abuse. Yeah, a lot of things. But God took me one day. I don't know how. He just took me out. And helped me. There are things people told me I'll never get out of. Never. And he took me out of it. It's not easy. I'm still struggling sometimes though. But I just know he's always there for me. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Yeah. I think we're struggling with the most is the testing of his power and his will for us. But we can rest assured in it that he says we may, that's exactly what we must do. Is to test him in these things, and he says that he will open the floodgates of heaven for us.
Amen.
If you seek his kingdom first.
Amen.
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 Thanks, Peter. Honesty.
Hi, I'm Chanel. I only came here this morning, so excuse me. I just wanted to say, if there's anyone that had suicidal thoughts or tried suicide, you can come talk to me. I've been there, I've been through it, I've been delivered from it. God doesn't judge, he loves. Normally people judge more. They don't understand the pain that some people are going through. So if you need prayer or counseling, I've been there, I've been through it, I've been healed from it for 6 years now. So if you need help, I can help you. I've got time. If you need counseling, I can help you. I'm living proof. I should not have been here. I was bleeding for 24 hours and more,
and I'm still here. So thank you, Jesus. His blood saved me and kept me safe. So all glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Vusi. Just something that I want to say is God bless this church so much. You know, I've been struggling the past whole year, been asking God, I want to feel the same way that I felt the first day I met you. The first day when you told me that you love me. The first day when I knew about you. And I've been asking God to show himself. And every time when I come to this church, I feel the same way that God, the first day I met God. And that makes me happy. And I've been asking myself, I've been praying, God, I want to feel the same way. I want to hear you. I want to feel you. And today he showed himself. I felt the same way that I felt the day when I became a Christian. And it's so amazing and it's so touching. I just want God to bless this church because I can see there's so much. It may not be you, but we are living testimony, and what we feel, what we go through, and what we share is what God is speaking to us. God bless the church.
Anyone else? Okay. I had a little over time, but I think one song, huh? Let's that good, good father one, huh? Luke? Is that too difficult? Okay, let's see in the. We're going to end up with a song. If you have sickness in your body, if there's any pain, we believe that God still does miracles. We've seen it in this church. So please come to me or to JH. JH loves praying for the sick and for people. But let's go all out with this song. Because we're not singing to somebody that we don't know. We're singing to our Father, our Dad. He's a cool Dad. He's amazing, and he's awesome. Okay. And then afterwards, there will be coffee and stuff in there.